to 11. But I rejoiced, Paul said that, in the Lord greatly, that now at last your care for me has flourished again through, though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Verse 11 says this, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. And verse 12, I love this, and I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. How many here got verse 13? You can put verse 13 up there. You ready? Let's. We got it memorized. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bam! Somebody say bam! Bam. Woo! That is the truth. Amen. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Well, let's pray. I pray, Lord, that you would bring this word deep in our heart and empower us today to overcome all our tribulations, all our trials, all our troubles. And Lord, as we seek this word, help us to embrace it and trust you. Increase our faith, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't sit, because here's the title of my message. You ready? You're stronger than all your trials or all your troubles. You're stronger than all your troubles. Here's the subtitle. You're strong. You're stronger than you think. Tell your neighbor you're stronger than you think. Amen, amen, amen. You may be seated. You're stronger than you think. Now, that last Sunday, I shared a message on don't worry, be happy. You remember that? Don't worry, be happy. And we kind of threw the song on. It was pretty cool. And we came from Philippians as well. And we came from verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your heart, minds, and Christ Jesus. That was our text. And I shared a couple of powerful dynamics about don't worry, be happy. Number one, God will always be by your side. Someone say amen to that. God will fight for you. God remembers you and knows your name. God's plan is, well, we didn't get to these two points, but maybe we'll get them another time and we'll review them. God's plan is better than yours. Someone say, thank you, Jesus. And God is your strong refuge. That was really the message that I shared last Sunday. So in prayer, I got to tell you, I was really seeking the Lord all week. And I just couldn't get away from Philippians, and I just grasped onto it. And so this morning, I just said to myself, you know, I not this morning, actually yesterday and so on, but all night long, and you know, and just studying. I had a hard time just really sleeping, thinking about this word, because we so need it, because we are living in a day of trouble. And we so need it. And, you know, Philippians, if you think about this incredible letter to the church of Philippi, remember that. This is a prison epistle. Apostle Paul is in prison. And sometimes we forget about this, you know. And it's just amazing. The Holy Spirit led him, filled him, write this letter, the Church of Philippi, over 2,000 years ago, to where God has given us this truth, this biblical, inspired truth in our hearts, and it just amazes me how you know, that, like, there's no excuses, like some, oh, well, that was Paul, he had it made, he was in a mansion, he had golden chariot. Oh, no, Paul was in a Philippian jail. Are you hearing me? And he writes this. Can I pause for a moment? There's no ping pong tables, there's no three hots in a cot. Are you with me? Paul couldn't get an associate degree, his theology degree. Are you with me? This was Flintstone jail. Bedrock. Don't say bedrock. And he's writing these amazing, incredible, inspiring truths. But here's my message this morning, our message. You're stronger than all your troubles. Could you say that with me? You're stronger than all your troubles. And you're stronger than you even think. I was going to say no. You're stronger than you even know. And we are. You know, we kind of limit ourselves. I'm reminded of an Indian that they found years ago in the 1800s, and he was I forget what it was. He was drunk and he was messed up and homeless and, you know, just lost. And yet they found him. I don't know if he was dead or can't. I think he had died, and they knew his testimony. And in his pocket or pouch, they found a letter supposedly from Abraham Lincoln, the president of the United States, that stated that this man would be able to receive anything wherever he went because of what he did. And this man didn't even know what he had. Can I tell you, we've got a letter from heaven that tells us we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us. Come on, somebody. So let me just share this. I believe there are many here this morning among us that are going through a tough time in your own life, your career, and family. I believe that. I'm sure many of us in our past have felt like giving up. You know, many of us have felt like running away from our situation. You don't have to raise your hand. I'll raise your hand for you. I'm sure many of us in times, you know, have felt like quitting. I'm sure there are many of us who felt like there's no answer to our problem. And I believe many of us have felt like you're just going to have to live with what you were dealt with. I believe maybe some of you or probably all of you have said, I can't take it anymore. God, I'm losing it. But let me ask you all this question, because I think everybody could have said yes to that. I believe I just spoke to 100% of the people. Now here, I want you to answer this now. How many here has God got you out of your past situation? Come on. How many of you can say God answered your prayer? How many can you say you never quit? You know why you never quit? Because God gave you the strength to get through. Why? Because you're stronger than you know. And if you believe we can do all things through Christ who strengthened us, give Jesus a big rejoicing praise this morning. Now, let's look at a few actions this morning, because that I really believe it's going to help us, you know, to overcome all your troubles. Amen? Now, let me point this out, how awesome David and how awesome God is. How many here know King David went through a lot in his life? He did. Failures, success, armies, this. You know, his sons betrayed him. You know what David said? David said, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Can somebody help me? But God delivers us all. Hallelujah. Amen. God delivers us all. What a truth to that. Now, let me give you the first action here this morning. Now, listen to this action. And it's something that I think sometimes we might tend to forget. Number one, when you're going through your troubles and trials and tribulations, you need to invite God into your trials and tribulation. Come on, amen? You need to invite God into your trials and tribulation. Now, most of the time, we face a difficulty. We pray, listen, don't miss this. God, get me out of this difficulty. Right? This is our prayer. God, get me out of this trouble at work. God, get me out of this financial setback. God, get me out of this sickness. And there's nothing wrong with that. But before you get out, you've got to invite Jesus in. Come on, amen? You see, I've learned over the years in deep, dark trials, the miracle is not getting out of your troubles. The real miracle comes by inviting God into your troubles. Now give him a big praise. Come on. Let me say it again. The miracle is not getting out of your troubles. The real miracle comes by inviting God in. And listen, sometimes God will bring you out. Other times, God comes in and begins to change things within your trial. Can I say it again? Sometimes God will bring you out. Other times, God comes in and begins to change things within. What am I saying? Some of you might be in a trial right now, and God's not taking you out right now because he wants to do something deep in your heart. Amen? And you might be wrestling with God right now, complaining and murmuring, when God is trying to do something miraculous in your heart. Come on, somebody needs to surrender, amen? You know, Ruth Graham, you know who she is, Billy Graham's wife. And I remember Ruth Graham, I can't remember if I was listening to Dr. Dobson or reading a book, or Franklin Graham's book, I can't remember. But I do remember this. And Ruth Graham. So Ruth is praying. How many know Franklin Graham was a rebel? And he was drinking, alcoholic, going crazy. And here's Billy Graham's son, the successor. And check this out. Ruth Graham continues to go to prayer that God would deliver and change Franklin's life. Here's out of Ruth Graham's lips, she said, "This particular morning in my prayer life, I was so downtrodden, so burdened for my son that I began to weep and pray and cry out, 'God, change Franklin. God, change Franklin.' And it got so quiet, and the Holy Spirit spoke almost audibly in her voice and said, 'I cannot change your son Franklin until I change you.'" Woo, this is Ruth Graham. Are you hearing me? Did you get that? Sometimes you want your situation to change, and that's not the answer. The answer is God wants to change you in that situation, and automatically that situation will change. Come on. That's how our God works. Hallelujah. So let me just share this with you. You know, God wants to give favor in your life, but favor isn't easy to come. And you've got to understand, because God wants to do that, but there's a time and a place for God to touch your life. I often say, you know, some once in a while when I say it, but sometimes God, you know, there'll be a moment when I'm at a Home Depot or something, a moment where somebody is not just a hit and run where someone says, "God bless you," because they don't know if you sneezed or you're just saying anything. But sometimes when there's a moment where I know that I can share something that they'll hear, somebody may say, "God bless you." And I say, "Yes, he does. But I constantly am trying to get out of the way so he can bless me." Amen? Because sometimes we're in the God's way of him blessing us, you know? So I've learned as well that, you know, God does deep works in our trial. You know, he comes and he does a work that sometimes you don't even really understand what God is doing. Why? Because God wants to prepare you for your purpose. And as you're going through the trials and your tribulations, you know, you got to understand something. He knows what you can take. And God often, if you're in a trial right now, I want you to know what God knows. God knows that you're stronger than your trial. God knows you're stronger than your tribulation. And God knows you're stronger than what you think. And God knows you're stronger than any trouble you can face. If you believe that, say amen. And God's working, you know, in your life through the trouble. He's working in the situation. Now, at times it's uncomfortable. And what's taking place is God is setting you up to show himself strong in your life. And I want to tell you, that's a wonderful prayer. I prayed it, and there's times I said, "God, show yourself real. God, show yourself strong. God, show yourself mighty." Those are the prayers God loves. Amen, because you're speaking it in faith. And so he's setting you up to show himself strong. I love God. You know what God loves to do? He loves to show up and show off. Amen? He loves to show up and show off. How many times in the Bible does he show up and show off? Did he do it at the Red Sea? Does he show up? And he shows off, splits the Red Sea. Come on, amen? Did he show up when Jesus was feeding the 5,000? He showed up, but he shows off a little bit, amen? Well, God's a miracle God. See, when he brings you out, people won't be able to deny the favor that's in your life. And sometimes people will see what you're going through. And you know what people see? People see your attitude in what you're going through. I remember when I was first a Christian, one of my classes that I was in, Bob Bushman, he was our teacher, Bobby's teacher, Miriam's teacher, phenomenal teacher. And in the Bible classes that we were in, I was just new, probably a month or so, 2 months saved in the Lord. And he said this. He said, people will believe in Jesus because they'll see how much you believe in him. And people will believe in Jesus because they'll see how much you believe in him, especially through your trials. Now, remember what this dynamic that we're speaking to. Listen, invite God into your trials and tribulations. Check this out. God said through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 43, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overtake you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Now, it's interesting. He didn't say, I'll keep you out of every flood, did he? He didn't say, I'll keep you out of the fire, did he? Listen, Isaiah is saying these challenges are going to come. There will be adversaries, things we don't understand, but the whole key to this verse is when he said, I will be with you in the flood, in the famine. Come on, somebody. No matter what you're going through, Jesus is in the house, and he's in your house. Now, some of us might be trying to get out of something, but know this, you know, God's got you. God's got you. I often say that if God brought you to it, he'll bring you through it. Amen? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What? Amen. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. Amen? For thou art with me. You probably heard the story. I mean, you know, of this, there was a plane that was hitting major turbulence, where they dropped like 100 feet. People jumped up and down. The airbags came, and there was this young boy in one of the seats. Everybody's freaking out and crying, yet he's just there, just secure as anything. And a lot of the people recognized that. Finally, when they cleared and they were getting off, you know, they landed nice, and the boy just had a peaceful, joyful countenance. And the people are sitting near him. They're on the plane. Came over and says, man, that didn't bother you. Do you fly a lot? How come that didn't bother you? He said, because my father's the pilot. Come on, somebody. Know who's on the boat. Know who's flying the plane. Amen? My father's the pilot. Now, are you fighting the process? Are you wondering why it happened? You know, are you still saying, I can't take this anymore? Remember this. You are stronger than you think. And what you got to do is invite Jesus into your trials. Amen? Now, Daniel, the book of Daniel, remember the story. You'll know where I'm going with this. You know, there's three Hebrew teenagers, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen? And they wouldn't bow down to worship King Nebuchadnezzar's golden idol. You know, you're familiar with the story. And the king was so furious, now watch this, that he threatened to throw them into the fiery furnace. Now, I love what these teenagers did. You know, they like put their hand up in his face, you know, and said, King, we're not worried because we know our God will deliver us. Can someone say that's faith? Now, what did this do? This furiated the king, So it got angry. So what did he do? He had the guards heat up the fire 7 times hotter than normal. Right? You know the story. And the fire would have killed anyone at the regular temperature they had. Why did God allow the king to heat up seven times hotter? You know the story that even the guards were consumed when they threw Shadrach, Meshach in the fire. Why is it? So it would be a bigger miracle. Are you here? Did you get that? So it would be a bigger miracle. God wants the odds to be against them even in a greater way. The fact is, God could have kept them out of the fire. You know that, right? He's a God that parted the Red Sea, opens the blind eyes, he's fed the 5,000, raises the dead. It wouldn't have been any problem for him to change the king's mind. God could have sent a big earthquake like he did to Paul and Silas and shook everybody up, you know? But God doesn't deliver us from the fire every time. Sometimes he'll take you through the fire. The good news is he knows how to make you fireproof. Come on, somebody. Amen. Tell your neighbor you're fireproof. Hallelujah. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss this. Because fires and floods don't determine your destiny. Can I say it again? Fires and floods don't determine your destiny. Fires and floods prepare you for your destiny. Remember this, trial and tribulations can't stop God's plan for your life. Hallelujah. Woo, somebody needed to hear that this morning, amen? And know this, sickness, addictions, unfair situation, they don't have the final say. Hallelujah. Listen, don't get discouraged because God didn't keep you out of the fire. God doesn't stop every negative situation. He uses these adversities to move us into our destiny. He uses these adversities to prepare us for our miracle. He uses these adversities to prepare us for our destiny. And here's another truth. We won't know his power if we were never thrown into the fire. You wouldn't know he was a healer if you never faced an illness. You wouldn't know he's the deliverer if you didn't face an addiction. I want to tell you here today, remember this, you're stronger than all your troubles. Hallelujah. Let me just bring you to another action to take. Listen to this. First one, invite Jesus into your trials. Secondly, listen to this. This is a good one for everybody in the house. Secondly, I don't know if you have it up there. Oh, here it does. Number two, the less you complain, the quicker the breakthrough. Ooh, that hurts somebody. Don't be looking at your wife, and wife, don't be looking at your husband. Amen? Amen? The less you complain, the quicker the breakthrough. So listen, Philippians 4:6, we shared this list. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Someone say, with thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. And it's hard to say, thank you, Lord, for the fire. Thank you for the family. Thank you for the sickness. I'm not saying thank him for that. Thank him for the deliverance. Come on, somebody. Amen. Check this out. Let's go back a little bit because that's verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication. But check out Philippians, 4:13. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens. But listen to chapter 4, our text, verse 4. Paul said this, Philippian jail. Don't forget, let me bring you back to Flintstone. Let me bring you back to bedrock. You know, him and Silas. Where's the bathroom on that rock? Where's the shower on that? You getting me? So don't forget who he's writing to and where he's from. Listen to verse 4, chapter 4, Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Woo! Come on. Man, that's got to get in there. So husband and wives, I give you permission when you go home and somebody starts complaining, you tell them, did you miss the message this morning? Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that? Miriam's not in here. And once in a while, she'll listen to old Joel Olstein and stuff, and old Joel, and I flip him on once in a while. I'm not going to get critical towards him, but sometimes when she might complain, I'll say, maybe you didn't hear Joel Olstein's message today. Amen? Anyway, here's the deal. So quit complaining about what you're up against. It's not a surprise to God. I'm speaking to myself, amen? It's not, the opposition may have turned up the heat 7 times hotter than normal, but they didn't do it without God's permission. Did you hear me? Amen? Remember, you and God are the majority. We serve, hallelujah, supernatural, all-powerful God. God's not limited to fires. God's not limited to floods. He's not limited to famines. What you're up against can't defeat you. Now give him a praise. With thanksgiving, amen. What should overwhelm you cannot stop your destiny. Instead of fighting these things that aren't fair, the things you don't like, listen, the purpose is so God can show up and show off and show his glory and show his power in your life and your friend's life and your family's life, and they will see not only in you and not from your mouth, I can do all things through Christ who strengthened me. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. Because without great tests, you won't have a great testimony. Without big battles, you won't have big victories. Are you hearing me? Don't tell God you got a big problem. You know what I'm going to say. Tell your problem you got a big God. Amen? Can I say it again? Don't tell God you got a big problem. Tell your problem you got a big God. Amen? How many here remember the Tootsie Pop? My pop's bigger than your pop. Remember that? Was that... Am I going way back? My pop's bigger than your pop. Come on, somebody, amen? Hallelujah. So here we are, the three Hebrew teenagers. We call them children, but they're really teenagers. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, "We know our God will deliver us. Lord, may we have this conviction and this faith in our lives." They made the statement of faith. They really did. What a statement of faith. They said something even more powerful. Check this out. And you know where I'm going to go. Not only say, "We know our God will deliver us." You know what they said? "But even if he doesn't, we still aren't going to bow down." Can I say this to you? That's the kind of people that give the enemy a nervous breakdown. Are you hearing me? Can't kill this guy. Can't shake him. Amen. That's the kind of people that give the enemy a nervous breakdown. Instead of complaining, your need is to declare this: I'm still going to give you praise. I'm still going to rejoice. I'm still going to be good to others. I'm still going to fulfill my dreams. I'm still going to serve the church. Listen, what did Job say? The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. What else did he say? And blessed be the name of the Lord. Come on, he had Philippians mastered. Hallelujah. That's the kind of attitude that gets God's attention. He says, "I could use him. I could use that." You know, because really what you're saying is this. You're saying, "God, not my will, but yours be done." Amen? King Nebuchadnezzar had the guards tie the teenager's hands. Listen, with feet and cords, with cords. And when they threw them in the furnace, it was so hot, the guards were instantly killed. So the king came down and to check him out. And so you know the story. He looks into the mouth of the furnace and he says, "Didn't I throw 3 men into the fire? I see a 4th man, and he looks like the Son of God." Come on, somebody. God may not deliver you from the fire, but don't you worry about it. He'll come into the fire and deliver you. Hallelujah. Man, we serve an awesome God. We serve an awesome God. Now, what's so awesome is God, he helps you to overcome what looks impossible. He does. Scripture says God is a very present help in times of trouble. You know, that's so incredible. He really does. What did Paul say? Paul said, remember this. Again, we go back to the Philippian jail. We're back in Philippians. We're back in the jail. And we go to chapter 3, verse 10. And what did Paul say? He goes, "Oh, that I might know him in the power of his resurrection and in the fellowship of his suffering." In the fellowship of his suffering. You know, when we go through times and dark times. And I've gone through some hard, hard times that were dark. And I will share this with you, that I heard and I have seen and had a more revelation of the realization of God than in the mountaintop victories. One-on-one, in those times where God spoke, God convicted, God was there. Hallelujah. He's a present help in every trouble. Remember this, God controls the fire. He speaks to the storm. He restores, he delivers, he heals, he provides all of your needs. Let's thank him for that right now. Amen. So, real quick, let me bring this home. You're stronger than you know, right? You're stronger than you know. Number two, you're stronger than all your trials and tribulations. Number two, the less you complain, the quicker the breakthrough. Now, let me share this. Kind of leads what I just said into this third reality. God does his greatest work in the darkness of the day. Wow. Some say, wow. He does. The book of Genesis, check this out, begins by telling how God created everything. Am I right? It's interesting that it says the evening and the morning were the first day. Watch this. You would think it would be in reverse, that the morning and the evening would be the first day. But God said the evening and the morning would be the first day. God doesn't make mistakes. Remember this, he does his greatest work in darkness. But God starts the day in the dark. I was up very early in the morning, and I study late at night. I'm a night owl, and I read, and I'm able to concentrate. That's just my makeup. And after 12, 10, and 12 a.m. is it, someone say, a new day. But it's dark. But it's dark. Nothing looks any different at 12 a.m. It's still dark outside. Looks the same as it did at 9 o'clock and sometimes 8 o'clock depending on the summer. And it looks like 10 o'clock. It looks like 11 o'clock. There's no sign that something has changed. But when the clock strikes midnight, in that 1 second with nothing looking different, it goes from p.m. to a.m. Yet it's still dark, but it's a new day. It's a new day. It would make more sense if the day started when the sun came up at like 6 in the morning or 7. Like that would, okay, now it's day. But we all know that 12 a.m. is a new day. We, you know, and when the dawn breaks, the light comes, it's obvious that it's a new day. And we could see it. Things have changed. We hear the birds beginning to chirp. The sun comes over the horizon. We have all this evidence that we have entered into a new day. But God chose to start the day in the dark on purpose. Why? Because it's symbolic of how he does things in our lives. You know, he gives us the promises that says we've come into a new day. The psalmist says this, weeping may endure for a, but joy comes. Amen. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I remember hearing or reading, I can't remember the story, and it was a pastor. I used to listen to Dr. Dobson all the time, work, and I had him all the time on the radio. And he would have interviews. It was so beautiful. And just this pastor and his wife were talking about counseling and ministering to people and so forth. And he said there was this particular woman who was going through so much and would always call at the exact same time. And it was an uncomfortable time for them, but they knew she was going through hell. And they just never corrected her or said, you know, this is really an appropriate time to call. And finally, when they knew she was getting the victory, they asked the question, why did you call us every night at 11:30, 11:45? She said, Pastor, because I needed God's mercy. and you prayed for me till midnight, because the Bible says his mercies endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Come on, somebody, amen. And so we all go through this. We all go through this because it's symbolic. You know, the darkness, weeping endures. His mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Listen, the moment we pray and believe, listen, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. The moment we get in that place of faith, the tide of the battle begins to turn. That means that when you say amen, it's a new day. Can someone say amen? You know why? Because you know what amen means. How many of you know what amen means? So be it. Done. Come on, somebody. That's the prayer. Make your request be made known with thanksgiving. See, you may not see any sign of it, but that's okay. Because victory begins in the dark. Hallelujah. This is what the Apostle Paul and Silas did in Acts chapter 16. You know the story. The scripture says, at midnight. In fact, it says, but at midnight. Someone say, but. It's a transition. The word but is a transitional word. But at midnight, it says, that, listen, they began to pray and sing hymns and praises to God. And it's so interesting that we're told what time this happened. Are you with me? It's just a God thing. He didn't miss it. You know, why do we put a clock, a time, 12 o'clock at midnight, our midnight, whatever it is. Why? Why? Listen, we're not given the time of most other miracles we read about in Scripture. But God had the writer tell us the time here because midnight means it's a new day. And as Paul and Silas were singing hymns and praises, you know what happened, amen? You know what happened? Here's Paul and Silas. They're in the Philippian jail. You know the deal. They're in Flintstone. They're on a rock. They're beat. They're messed up. Amen? And I could just see Paul look over to Silas and say, hey, Silas, ¿qué pasa? You know what that means? What's happening? And then, you know, and then I could see Silas go, nada, we're getting beat up. We're in the Flintstone jail. And then I see Paul back up, because Paul's the man, he's pro. And Silas, ¿qué hora es? ¿Qué hora es? Amen? You know what that means. What time is it? And Silas understands, because the psalm says at midnight, you're supposed to sing hymns and praises. And the Bible says Silas got the revelation at midnight. Paul got the revelation at midnight. They stood up and began to sing hymns and praises to God. And the earthquake came. The fetters were broken. The prison doors were open. And folks, no matter what trouble we're in, no matter what fire we're in, no matter what flood we're in, no matter what famine we're in, no matter what sickness is, we just got to get up and believe God. God, that he delivers us from all tribulation. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Listen, listen, he'll make things happen that you can't make happen. That's why you're here today, and that's why you believe God. It is. Listen, and don't believe the lies that darkness is permanent. That it's, listen, daybreak's about to come, amen? Light is about to burst through. Psalms 30, let me say it again. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Amen? Can I tell you this? The sun is going to rise again in your life. How many here remember that song titled Tomorrow? Remember that? It's the play of Annie. The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. I like that. Come on, somebody. Amen? I like that. I was watching America's Got Talent, and this girl gets up. Her name is Sydney Christmas. If you haven't heard about her, get a chance to check this person out. I mean, she's up there with Barbara, and so she comes up with jeans, baggy jeans, and a sweatshirt, and she says to Simon, the guy, what are you going to sing? He goes, I'm going to sing tomorrow. He goes, I hate that song, he says to her. I hate that song. And he always says, It's yours. Good luck. She blew that song away where she got the golden buzzer. Here's my point. There's a couple of truisms in this song. It might be dumb. It might be stupid. The sun will come out. Bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there'll be sun. Come on, somebody. Listen to that. Just thinking about tomorrow clears away the cobwebs and the sorrow till there's none. When I'm stuck with a day that's gray and lonely, I just stick out my chin and I grin and I say, oh, the sun will come out tomorrow. Come what may, the sun will come out tomorrow. Come what may. My Jesus is the Son of God, and he'll get me through. Stand up and give him some praise this morning. That's enough. Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Worship team, come. I want to pray for all of us here. And I know everybody here is going through something, you know, and